Blog Talk Radio.
You shall call his name Jesus. For it is he who will save his people from the sin.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And good morning. And
Today is November the 15th, 2022, and it's the Feast of St. Albert the Great. We will look into his story in just a few moments, but we are getting very close. We're getting close to the end of the church year on the calendar. We're getting close, and we're coming towards the season of Advent. So if you've been following the scriptures at Mass, you're going to see and hear more of the scripture that pertains to the parousia, coming, the coming of Jesus at the parousia. And that will happen. We're moving towards, and that's what Advent means, you know, the coming of the King. So that's what it's really all about, coming up in the church calendar. So the coming of the King. It is interesting that Advent begins the church year, reminding us of the need to be ever vigilant. From the apostolic age, the apostles encouraged the church to follow their example. People believed that our Lord was returning very soon, and so the expectation was high. St. Paul teaches us to be ever vigilant, writing, "Concerning times and seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief at night. When people are saying peace and security, then sudden disaster comes upon them, like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape." St. Paul says, "For you yourselves know very well," indicating that he had already been preparing the people to be steadfast. This is exactly what the church continues to do. St. Paul continues, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness, for that day to overtake you like a thief. For all of you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor or the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us stay alert and sober." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1-6. Because of the many who proclaim teaching contrary to the apostles, St. Paul writes, "We ask you, brothers, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your minds suddenly or to be alarmed either by a spirit or by an oral statement or by a letter allegedly from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. From the beginning, there were those who took things out of context. People still do. Other voices that proclaim teachings that are not recognized by the magisterium of the Catholic Church. Take the scriptures promoting new gospels. The doctrine of the rapture comes to mind. Placing dates to the Lord's second coming also is a deception. The apostles instruct us to be ever vigilant, alert, and awake. St. Peter writes, "Therefore, beloved, since you await these things, be eager, be found without spot or blemish before him at peace." 2 Peter chapter 3, 14. This has been the mindset of the church forever. The actual practice of Advent as part of a church calendar was a development. Pope Telephorus in 125 began developing such a calendar, but it appears that the Catholic Church instituted the season of Advent in 567 through the Council of Tours. This council also proclaimed the 12 days of Christmas, 25 December to the Epiphany, the Manifestation, 6 January, a sacred festive season. Following the apostolic tradition, the Church Universal proclaims our vigilance of the second coming of Christ. The scriptural readings will reflect this during Advent. This is a rich season intending to bring in a heightened Christmas celebration to keep Christ the center of Christmas. The history of the Advent wreath. Wow. The symbolism of the Advent wreath is beautiful. The wreath is made of various evergreens signifying continuous life. Even these evergreens have a traditional meaning which can be adapted to our faith. The laurel signifies victory over persecution and suffering. Pine, holly, and yew, immortality, and cedar, strength and healing. Holly also has a special Christian symbolism. The prickly leaves remind us of the crown of thorns. And one English legend tells of how the cross was made of holly. The circle of the wreath, which has no beginning or end, symbolizes the eternity of God, the immortality of the soul, and the everlasting life found in Christ. Any pine cones, nuts, or seed pods used to decorate the wreath also symbolize life and resurrection. Altogether, the wreath of evergreens depicts the immortality of our soul and the new everlasting life promised to us through Christ, the eternal Word of the Father, who entered our world becoming true men and who was victorious over sin and death through his own passion, death, and resurrection. The four calendars, four candles, represents the 4 weeks of Advent, a tradition that each week represents 1,000 years to sum up the 4,000 years from Adam to Eve, Adam and Eve until the birth of the Savior. Spiritually, tradition. Three candles are purple and one is rose. The purple candles in particular symbolize the prayer, penance, and preparatory sacrifices and good works undertaken at this time. The rose candle is lit on the third Sunday, Gaudete Sunday, when the priest also wears rose vestments at Mass. Gaudete Sunday is the Sunday of rejoicing because the faithful have arrived at the midpoint of Advent, when the preparation is now half over and they are close to Christmas. The progressive lighting of the candle symbolizes the expectation and hope surrounding our Lord's first coming into the world and the anticipation of his second coming to judge the living and the dead. The light again signifies Christ, the light of the world. Some modern day adaptions include a white candle placed in the middle of the wreath, which represents Christ and is lit on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. Another tradition is to place the three purple and one rose candles with four candles, which will be lit throughout Christmas season. So the family practice, the Advent wreath is most appropriately lit at dinner time after the blessing of the food, a traditional prayer service. Using the Advent wreath proceeds as follows. On the first Sunday of Advent, Father of the blessed of the family blesses the wreath, praying, O God, by whose word all things are sanctified, pour forth thy blessing upon this wreath, and grant that we who use it may prepare our heart for the coming of Christ, and may receive from you abundant graces, who lives and reigneth forever and ever. Amen. And so this continues on. So it's beautiful. Advent, the coming of the King. And we're considering this now day one of the St. Andrew Advent Novena. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail and blessed be the hour and moment in which the Son of God was born of the most pure Virgin Mary at midnight in Bethlehem in the piercing cold. In that hour vouchsafe, I beseech you, O my God, hear my prayer and grant my desire. We pray for America. We pray for family members who have fallen away from you, Lord, who have not been practicing Catholic faith. We pray for America. Through the merits of our Savior Jesus Christ and his Blessed Mother, amen. We pray for healing. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Advent is a time of anticipation for Christ's birth in the season leading up to Christmas. But that is only part of it. The word Advent is derived from the Latin word Adventus, which means coming. In the Greek translation, this means parousia. Scholars believe that during the 4th and 5th centuries, Advent was a season of preparation for the baptism of new Christians at the January Feast of Epiphany, celebration of God's incarnation represented by the visit of the Magi to baby Jesus, Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, his baptism in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, John chapter 1, 29. And his first miracle at Cana, John chapter 2, 1. During this season of preparation, Christians would spend 40 days in penance, prayer, and fasting to prepare for the celebration. By the 6th century, Roman Christians had tied Advent to the coming of Christ. The coming. They had in mind was not Christ's first coming, but his second coming as the judge of the world. It was not until the Middle Ages when the Advent season was explicitly linked to Christ's first coming, Christmas. So it's not too late to take a tip on Christmas gift giving from two doctors of the church, St. Alfonso Liguori and St. Teresa of Avila. And you can help a soul in purgatory reach heaven on December 25th. And marking the 8 days of the octave of Christmas, you can keep giving and keep helping through January the 1st. It well may be you're unfamiliar with the revelations of both St. Alphonsus and St. Teresa that say more souls are released from purgatory on Christmas Day, not All Souls Day. It seems the solemnity of the Nativity of the Lord is when purgatory is least populated. Then too, it well might be you're a little unclear on the church's teaching on purgatory. Here's what the Catechism of the Catholic Church says. All who die in God's grace and friendship are still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation, but after death they undergo purification, so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. The church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect, which is entirely different from the punishment of the damned. From the beginning, Church has honored the memory of the dead and offered prayers and suffrage for them, above all the Eucharistic sacrifice, the Mass, so that thus purified they may attain the beatific vision of God, that is, heaven. The church also commends almsgiving and indulgences and works of penance undertaken on behalf of the dead. Let us help and commemorate them. Let us not hesitate to help those who have died and to offer our prayers for them. The Catholic Catechism of the Church, Catholic Church, 1030 through 1032. And years 2022. Is dedicated to the Mother of God. Now in our prayers, I can say, Mother Mary, Pope Francis has given you permission to enter into time and history. The Catholic Church calls her the Queen of Mercy, with good reason. God cannot be outdone in his mercy. Pray for your family members, even those who lived generations before you. One day we will meet in heaven, and the souls of whose release you secure through prayer, penitence, acts of mercy, and love will be most grateful to you. Imagine the joy of seeing God face to face. They will become your intercessors too. So go back in your family tree and pray for those you know by name. Pray for those who don't know by name. You might assume that they have already reached heaven. That might not be true. They might need one rosary or one mass offered for them to be released. No prayer goes unused. If they have already reached the joys of heaven, God will use those prayers for someone else. Help to end the suffering of the souls in purgatory this Advent. Open the gates for them. Through your prayers, you will be blessed. And as I say, living the blessed. You know, we're living the blessed. Living the blessing. You know, in the military, we would say living the dream or living the legend. But now we can say we are living His blessing. Saint Gertrude, the prayer of Saint Gertrude. The prayer is said to release 1,000 souls each time it is prayed. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses said throughout today's in reparation for sin, for the holy souls in purgatory. For sinners everywhere, for sinners in Universal Church, those within my home and within my family, amen. And
you're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And I love the song that Catholic artist Donna Corey Gibson and taking the prayer of St. Gertrude, whose feast day was just yesterday. And so here's her song, 1,000 Souls, from the prayer of St. Gertrude.
Purgatory.
voice.
You're listening to the Catholic Defender Radio Network.
And St. Albert the Great, today is the 15th of November. He was born in 1206. He lived on through till 1280. And he said, "It is by the path of love, which is charity, that God draws near to man, and man to God. But where charity is not found, God cannot dwell. If then we possess charity, we possess God, for God is charity." And Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." St. Albert the Great is a good example of a man who was raised by pious parents, whose father served as a military lord in service to Emperor Frederick II. Young Albert was raised with high ideals, teaching him to reach for the heavens. Being born around 1200 and from beautiful Bavaria, I spent a lot of time there myself, he was showing much promise in education when in 1223 he had an encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary while hunting in the woods for a good catch for the family. Young Albert was suddenly stopped by a most beautiful lady whose voice spoke with such beauty and whose appearance was like that of pure white, reminding him of what he learned of the Lord Jesus and his transfiguration. The lady identified herself as his mother and was calling him to join a religious order. This encounter with the Blessed Virgin Mary would play a major role for the rest of St. Albert's life. He composed a prayer calling it, "Mother of Grace, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. For note, Mary, for you have found grace, not taken it as Lucifer tried to do so. You have found grace, not lost it. You not lost it as Adam did. You have found favor with God because you desired and sought it. You have found uncreated grace, that is, God himself, became your son. And with the grace you have found and obtained every uncreated good." So St. Albert attended the University of Padua until 1223, when after his experience with the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, St. Albert joined the Dominican order. St. Albert's father was not supportive of the Dominicans because of their vow of poverty, influencing their members to give up all their possessions. Yet, in the end, he caved to the wishes of the Holy Virgin, who had called Albert to follow her son, Jesus Christ, in the simplest means available. Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus states, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Leaders of the Dominican order quickly began to see the special gifts that St. Albert demonstrated living in modest means. In 1228, he taught at German universities in Cologne and Regensburg and Strasbourg and ultimately the University of Paris. By 1252, St. Albert would come into contact with St. Thomas Aquinas, laying a great foundation for the future saint. In St. Albert's lifetime, he published 38 volumes of writings in physics, chemistry, biology, geography, astronomy, and geology. Aristotle's ancient works were found, and St. Albert took many of Aristotle's writings and basically Christianized them, developing principles of Christian ethics and theology and the scholastic system. St. Thomas Aquinas would perfect this study in following years. In 1254, St. Albert became the leader of the Dominican order in Germany. Even so, he refused the regular honor being called master or doctor, preferring to be simply called friar. He tried to hold on to his state of being humble, never forgetting his promise to Our Lady in the Bavarian Alps. He did not want to fall in line with the Pharisees, who Jesus gives the seven woes, Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, Jesus states, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." As a priest, St. Albert heard many confessions, bringing back the prodigals and teaching them to follow Christ, many of them in universities. We need 1,000 St. Alberts today in America, as our universities have gone 180 degrees the wrong way. St. Albert served a time in Rome when he had to handle another office, another title, office of master of the sacred place, serving as the Pope's canonist and personal aide in theology. In 1260, St. Albert was sent by the Holy See back to Regensburg, where he served as bishop. After 2 years, he found himself back to Cologne, where he resumed his teaching and writing. Matthew chapter 5, 6, Jesus states, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." St. Albert never forgot the call of his heavenly mother. In 1274, at the 14th Council of Lyons, Pope Gregory X presided over 300 bishops, 60 abbots, and over 1,000 prelates, representing many universities. St. Albert would attend this council that acted on the pledge of Byzantine Emperor Michael VIII to reunite the Eastern Church with the West. Another main issue was the concern of the Holy Land that was under the threat by the Islamic terrorists of that time who sought world conquest. St. Albert was known for settling disputes, encouraging peace among the peoples. Matthew chapter 5, 9, Jesus states, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." This was St. Albert's life. In 1277, with the death of his famed pupil, St. Thomas, St. Albert spent the rest of his days defending his prized student. During the next year, 1278, Albert became ill and suffered until he died on November 15, 1280. 3 years after his death, his body was found to be incorrupt, but in 1483, only his skeleton remained. Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, Jesus states, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." St. Albert was beatified in 1622 by Pope Gregory XV and canonized by Pope Pius XI in 1931. The man who refused the titles master and doctor in his lifetime was named a doctor of the church, as he now serves with the cloud of witnesses, Hebrews chapter 12, 1, in heaven for eternity. St. Albert is the patron saint of scientists, and his feast day is November the 15th. And he had such a great love for our Heavenly Mother. He had such, could you imagine, out in the woods and, you know, hunting or something, and having the most beautiful lady appear to you from heaven, like St. Albert had when Our Lady appeared to him. Could you imagine? What would it be like for you if that happened for you? Wow. Well, our faith tells us and shows us that Our Lady is here, our Lord and Our Lady. And if you invite them into your heart, and if you invite them into your home, great is your reward. So Anima Christi. I will end with Donna Corey Gibson, Anima Christi. Jesus is truly in the Eucharist, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Heaven is our ultimate. That is our ultimate destination in this pilgrimage. And as we are on this pilgrimage, let us pray the rosary. Pray the rosary. And pray for those, the poor souls in purgatory. And so, God bless you all. And we will end in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so, good day as we finish out the month of November, dedicated for the poor souls, for the souls in purgatory. Heavenly Father, in union with the merits of Jesus and Mary, I offer you, for the sake of the poor souls, all the satisfactory value of my works during life, as well as all that will be done for me after death. I give you my all. Through the hands of the Immaculate Virgin Mary, she may set whatever soul she pleases according to her heavenly wisdom and mother's love for them. Receive this offering, O God, and grant me in return an increase of your grace. and pray, Lord, and pray for America. God bless you all. Good day.